You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, muscular, musical, and or mustache muchachos, mud skippers, and muffins. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 115. I don't know if I should say 115 or 115.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
115.
Yeah. I think 115.
Sounds bigger.
We'll get out of this awkward stage pretty soon.
Yeah. Right? We're still figuring it out. Yeah. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your orating orchestra of original orangutans.
I'm Colin.
And organisms.
I'm Dana.
I'm Chris.
Hey, so what are you guys doing on the July 4th weekend?
On July 4th, I'm eating 20 hamburgers.
Sure.
Drinking a lot of beer.
July 5th, you're recovering.
Right, yeah, exactly.
July
6th,
you are
going to the Good Job Brain Meetup.
Yeah.
Where we may also eat and drink more beer.
Yeah that's true. Right.
I don't know if you can do 20 hamburgers, though.
It would be expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the hospital bill is also expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So July 6th, we're having a meetup at our usual trivia place, the Soma Street Food Park. There are tons of food trucks. We're hanging out on a school bus with our goodies and our trivia.
Yeah. We reserved a whole section and it's for the meetup. So that's going to be pretty cool to have our own space. But of course, you're welcome to roam around and get food and
be surrounded by Good Job Brain fans over. Yeah.
Who like knowing stuff and talking about facts.
And talk about knowing stuff.
And knowing stuff. Lots of correcting each other. I bet there'll be some good Game of Thrones talk.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a humdinger.
Also, we're gonna have goodies for everybody who shows up, so don't forget to please RSVP. You can find the event info on our website, goodjobbrain.com, and also here's a bit.ly link to the Eventbrite, which is bit.ly/GJBSF meetup, one word lowercase. And RSVP. And that way I know how many people are coming. Yeah. I can.
Karen makes awesome
prizes.
Swag. Yeah.
Some swag.
It's going to be cool. It'll be worth your while to show up.
Yeah. So we'll see you guys there. I have a bizarre headline. We haven't had a bizarre headline in a while.
Yeah.
I guess nothing that bizarre has happened recently. Most importantly, a listener, Christina Adams, emailed us and told us about this tidbit, which is really cool. She said, "I just found out that people in Russia and Finland used to put live frogs in their milk to keep it fresh in the days before refrigerators."
What? If this came up like in a game of Balderdash or something, I would say no way. No.
Right.
So please explain the science behind frogs in milk.
Mm. All right. From Discover Magazine, double checking some of the facts. Yep, they used to do this, and it does have a basis in science. Good, which is good. Recent research on amphibian skin, led by Moscow State University, their organic chemistry team, showed that the skin is loaded with peptides, antimicrobial compounds, that they're potent against salmonella and other bacteria.
Huh.
Are they live frogs or
live
bad frogs?
Live.
Because they have to be secreting all the antimicrobial stuff.
And the poop and the...
Yeah, and it just keeps the bacteria out of your mouth. Well, listen, we're talking
It puts frog bacteria in there.
Right. You were probably drinking in those days before Brita filters. You were probably drinking a lot of frog poop on a daily basis.
It's
anyway.
True. You built up a tolerance.
Right. It was like the salt on a margarita.
It was like mother's milk at that point.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Next time you're in a jam.
Wow. You know, if the power goes out.
Honey, get me a frog.
Yep, if you're camping. Or just
any
whatever.
Frog? I can't believe frogs like being in milk.
Well, I don't think they ask the frog permission.
Hey, frog, do you want to live in my milk jug for a while?
Yeah, the frogs don't want it.
Signing little tiny frog waivers.
Yeah.
It's like they don't have fingerprints. It's just a web print.
All right.
I just want to apologize first. I kind of sound like Rod Stewart today. I'm sorry. Chris and I just came back from a big work event last week, E3, which is the video game big industry convention. So I did a lot of talking.
Oh, okay.
A lot of talking. A lot of booth babe duty.
Oh, right, right, right. I did a lot of listening.
That's good.
So your ears are a little hoarse.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in addition to E3 going on this past week, I don't think you guys have to be big sports fans to be aware that the World Cup soccer tournament is underway.
Indeed.
If you've been anywhere near the internet or a TV or probably another person.
Even the Google Doodle is
that's right.
FIFA.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. World So started last week. It's, you know, a month-long soccer tournament every 4 years.
I remember those bygone days when Americans were simply blissfully unaware that the World Cup was even a thing that was happening.
I think, but it's so much easier to watch now. You watch live streaming and pretty much all the matches are on. Big deal. Bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than the Olympics.
Yeah. Bigger than the Eurovision Song Contest.
Which is
pretty big.
So it's sort of in the spirit of sports trivia for non-sports fans. I just wanted to go over very quickly some questions here that I think are very likely to come up at your pub quiz this upcoming week. So we'll frame this as questions. Take your guys' best guess if you can.
Okay.
These will all be questions about the World Cup soccer tournament. So one of the smallest South American countries, they were winners of the first World Cup in 1930. Dana.
Is that Uruguay?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Uruguay. Whoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were quite a powerhouse, especially back in those days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Won the first World Cup in 1930. This country has won the most World Cup titles with 5 championships to their name. Karen.
Brazil.
It is.
Yeah.
Brazil. Where, in fact, the current World Cup is being hosted as we speak. Last one. Here we go. So the World Cup is organized by soccer's world governing body, FIFA, F-I-F-A. There's also FIFA Soccer is a video game. I'll tie that back in.
Yeah. True.
So tell me, please, what does FIFA stand for? Karen. Right.
Federation Internationale Football Association.
That is absolutely correct.
Yes! Wow. Yes. Video games!
And in French, strictly speaking.
Yeah.
Federation Internationale de Football Association.
It's weird that there's a Federation Association.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Usually you only have one or the
Association Football.
Oh, right. Association Football.
Oh, okay. So we're soccer.
Describing.
Federation Internationale de Football Association.
Right, which is where, as we've talked about on the show, soccer comes from association football. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. So you guys 3 for 3 on the soccer questions. Not bad.
A little bit more housekeeping. I just want to clarify some stuff in our recurring correction segment.
Actually, what you said just wasn't true. Actually, do you mind if I correct you? Because actually, factually, and quite enthusiastically, I was right and you were wrong. That's exactly what inspired me to write this actually song. You were wrong.
This is what happens when we record a lot of episodes at once and then we can't really address
them the man behind the curtain, Caroline.
I have to admit, sometimes we get too excited and we flub over stuff. So quick 3 things. First of all, in our How to Prep for a Pub Quiz Part 1 episode, I had a geography quiz and I talked about the Australian flag. Australian flag is made of 6 stars. Mm-hmm. There's 5 that make up the Southern Cross pattern and 1 is what you call a Commonwealth star. That's the bonus star. And Commonwealth star is also known as the Federation star. Mm. A lot of people wrote in saying, from Australia, saying, oh, it's called the Federation star, not Commonwealth star. Both are interchangeable. Federation is more within Australia and then Commonwealth more, you know, for the Commonwealth. And then I did flub on this. Not all stars have 7 points on the flag.
Oh.
One baby star, the smallest one in the Southern Cross, actually has 5 points.
Ah, okay.
But all the other star, including the Federation or Commonwealth star, has 7 points, which is very strange. You don't really see a 7-point thing anywhere.
Yeah.
The other thing is we got a lot of mail, and I know Chris prefaced this. We talked about beer cocktails, different
beer cocktails,
mixtures of beers calling something else. It does change US to UK, and then within one place, you know, it's probably not the same. It changes from bar to bar. So a lot of people wrote in and say snake bite can also be a lager with cider. It can also be a Guinness with cider. Depends on where you are. A lot of that stuff is like old tradition and new tradition.
There is no cool names. Yeah, there's no controlling legal authority.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish there was. That'd be cool. The Beer Cocktail Association. Right.
Let's start Federation International to Beer Cocktail.
Yep.
And then one more thing in our How to Prep for a Pub Quiz Part 2 episode, we also talked about admitting states into the union. And I kept saying continental, and what I really meant is contiguous. Because Alaska technically is in our continent, contiguous.
Right. Oh, good one.
Yeah, so good catch.
What an eagle-eared listener.
Eagle-eared. What has really good hearing? Bats?
Bats, yes.
Eagle-eyed and bat-eared?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Sonic.
Doesn't really... Eagle eye is really a nice analogy. Bat-eared is kind of weird. Yeah. Just think of
seems
Batman.
Like an insult.
Yeah.
Like,
so that concludes our clarification and actually.
You guys are very smart.
Yeah, very, very good for catching all that stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good show, everybody. I'll see you next week.
It's a lot of stuff. Okay. So today is episode 115, 115. Which means it is our all quiz bonanza number 23. Every fifth episode, we don't really have a main theme or topic. We just prepare a bunch of quizzes to stump each other and to stump you guys, listeners. So today is our all quiz bonanza number 23. And without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. You guys have your Morning Zoo radio buzzers, yes, and I have a Trivial Pursuit card, random from the box. Let's start answering some questions. Here we go. Blue wedge for geography. What Washington town had Stephanie Meyer never visited before setting Twilight there?
Oh,
Dana.
Forks.
Yes.
Forks,
Washington.
Forks.
It's a real place. It is real.
Yeah, I think
yeah, real-ish.
They take people on tours.
Yeah.
They're like, that's where the vampires live. that's where they go to high school.
And I think it's one of those cities where people are like stealing street signs and stuff now, like hardcore Twilight fans.
Do they still do it?
Oh, sure.
Well, maybe not anymore. Yeah.
All right. Pink wedge for pop culture. What is the only Disney animated feature film whose title character does not speak?
Whoa.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, Colin.
Dumbo?
Yes.
Oh,
it is Dumbo.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk.
All right. Yellow wedge. What animals does a cynophobe fear? Basically, what is cynophobia? And that's spelled C-Y-N-O phobia.
Oh, interesting.
You can work at it.
Yeah.
What animals?
Swans?
Oh,
like
cygnet?
Yeah.
Like, Chris?
Dogs.
Sino.
Sino.
Because when it's phobia, it's all Greek terms, not canis, which is
The Latin, right.
Sinophobia. Is dog.
Okay.
Purple wedge. Whoa. What Cirque du Soleil show is billed as, quote, the sensual side of the franchise? Chris again.
Is this one Zoomanity?
It is Zoomanity.
Zoomanity.
Right.
Only people 18 years or older are allowed to attend.
Whoa.
This isn't on a card, but bonus point for telling me which Las Vegas hotel has Zoomanity. Chris?
New York.
Correct. Which was the location of our last, our first and meetup.
First and last and most recent, yeah.
Good job bringing meetup at New York. All right. Green wedge for science. What corporation's informal motto is "Don't be evil"? Oh, I didn't know all of you guys.
Google.
Yes. And last question, orange wedge. What clothing item from the 1880s sold on eBay for $46,532?
Clothing item
from the 1880s.
And it's not a Hollywood or like something.
Well, that's
like
too late to be like Lincoln's
hat.
So it's got to be a famous
1880s.
Famous
kind of San Francisco related.
Really?
Interesting.
It is a pair of jeans.
Oh. Is it the first pair of Levi's jeans?
Levi Strauss, maker of the original pair, actually bought them back over 100 years later.
Oh. Right. I remember when that happened. Cool. Yeah. It was like the oldest pair extant. Yeah.
Kind of gross. I don't know what you do with it. That's weird. All right, good job, brains. All quiz number 23. Who wants to start?
We're finally ready to start the show.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But we had some FIFA quiz, and we had a couple of questions.
I can start. I have a leg.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay, great. This quiz is called No Pressure, and it is themed around pressure.
So there is pressure.
It is free association. Yeah, so there is pressure. Sorry. Okay. The title's a lie. So, yes, pressure.
All right. Yes.
I would like you all to buzz in with your morning zoo buzzers.
Yeah.
When you think you know the answer to these questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess we should start off with, what is the SI unit for pressure? The metric system unit for pressure. It is named after one of the scientists who invented the mechanical calculator. Karen.
Piston?
No. That would have been good. The SI unit of pressure, named after one of the scientists who invented the mechanical calculator, is the Pascal.
Oh, right. Pascal.
My high school teacher would be very disappointed.
Oh, okay.
I have heard that.
Well, I'm sure some people out there got it.
Yeah.
So close.
So, if speed is defined as the ratio of distance over time, how is pressure defined as a ratio? Colin.
It's often pounds per square inch.
But what is the
weight over area?
Oh, not miles per hour.
Oh,
but
I see.
Is it mass or weight? No, it's weight.
I will tell you, it is not weight or mass.
Oh, force.
It is, yes. So pressure
force
is
force over area.
Force over area. Yes. Okay. PFA. Okay. Pressure is force over area. All right.
Got it.
Seventh world transported back to seventh grade.
Okay. All right. We're moving away from science. This 1984 Rush album bears a title similar but not identical to a 1990s sitcom starring Brett Butler.
Oh.
Dana, think it through.
So the Brett Butler one was Grace Under Fire.
Grace Under Fire.
It's the title of the 1984
Rush
album.
Grace Under Pressure?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Grace Under Pressure.
Yeah.
Multi-step question. In the year 2013, this person said that he had paid $4 million for the publishing rights to the Queen David Bowie song Under Pressure.
Oh.
Wait.
Somebody
bought what?
Just like Michael Jackson bought the publishing rights to the songbook of the Beatles.
Oh, got it.
This person said last year that he paid $4 million for the publishing rights to the Queen David Bowie song Under Pressure.
One song.
It's not Vanilla
so
Ice.
Let me ask this question. Well, let me ask. Okay. I mean, so who stands to benefit the most?
David Bowie?
It seems like he would hardly need to buy the to benefit.
Right, right.
Kanye.
Would you like me to simply tell you? Or?
Yeah,
okay. In 2013, Vanilla Ice.
Oh,
that he paid. Because if you think about it, the way he explained it was, instead of having to pay royalties every time, because of course, the only song of which he makes money off of, except for the ninja rap, is Ice Ice Baby. And of course, he has to pay royalty every time sampled without permission.
So now
under
this
pressure.
Way,
now
he
has just bought the publishing rights and he won lump sum payment and now he never has to worry about that.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
Good. So you got it, Dana.
So it was Vanilla Ice. If we were at Club Trivia, we would have
put that down for sure.
Go
exactly.
Go ninja, go.
Sticking with music, Pressure was the first single off this Billy Joel album, which sounds more like the name of a fabric store.
Michael's? Joanne Fabrics? We didn't start the fire at the fabric store.
The Billy Joel album in question is The Nylon Curtain.
Oh, okay.
The Nylon Curtain, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sexy story.
The two measurements of someone's blood pressure are systolic and...
Oh, dang. What is it?
D? Does it start with a D?
It does.
Yeah.
Diolic.
Sure. Systolic and diastolic.
Diastolic.
The upper one is the systolic and the lower one is the diastolic.
What do those mean?
Well, that's what I am going to ask you next. What is the difference between your systolic blood pressure and your diastolic blood pressure? Note that they measure them not exactly at the same time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
One is resting, right? Or... I don't know. That's as far as I'm going to get on that.
Like, you can be specific. Like, let's be specific with, like, it's what the difference
it's
is.
Like, it's when your whatever heart is... over whatever. Like, your blood pressure is this over this.
Right. It's systolic over diastolic. So what is the difference between those two things?
It's one is, like, right at the max of your heartbeat, and one is when it's not beating.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how to describe that.
So systolic is the blood pressure when your heart beats and sends blood through, and then diastolic is... When it's resting and everything is just sort of hanging out.
So on the beats and between the beats.
Right. And you want to know both. You know, you want to know what your blood pressure is when your heart's beating and when it's not.
What? Say it again. Oh my God.
Systolic.
Systolic.
And diastolic.
Diastolic.
When you're watching your medical drama of choice and they say that when the guy flatlines, they yell out asystole. A as in not and systole as in heartbeat.
Got it. So, okay.
Systolic.
No, they yell out, "We're losing him."
Oh, like, they don't. I've never
crash
heard. Card.
Yeah, I've never heard them yell out the other.
Asystole is the official scientific doctor term for flatlining.
Got it.
Yeah, that was a rough way to start the show.
Yeah, I know, right? Atmospheric pressure is measured with a barometer, and it is measured in inches or millimeters of what substance?
Well, is it...
It's not water?
Is it mercury?
Because when they say it is mercury, yes. Yep.
Why?
I think, I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, is because it's less susceptible to temperature changes and expanding and contracting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I believe that's
it's most
right.
most controlled.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll throw a few more hedges in there.
Yeah,
why not?
I believe right.
magic
because it moves around. Yeah,
a wizard did it. A wizard did it.
Yeah. If this is wrong, you'll hear about it on the next episode.
That's right. Finally... If you get this one, feel good about yourselves. It's a tough question. Sidney Poitier and Bobby Darin starred in this 1962 film about a psychiatrist who treats a Nazi sympathizer.
Whoa.
It's pretty good.
This is a good pitch, though.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I know.
I kind of want to watch that.
Does Bobby Darin sing in it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. That might be a weird movie to sing.
I don't think I'm able to retrieve it.
Sing about the Nazis.
Yeah, I do not think I know the name of this.
The name of the movie is... Pressure Point.
Pressure Point.
Pressure Point.
Okay, okay. Yep.
And that is your pressure quiz.
Okay, lots of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of pressure.
He did warn us. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, he did.
All right, I'll go next. I have a quiz for you guys. This was sort of loosely inspired, Dana, by your Who's Googlier quiz from several episodes back. So what I have done is I've used Google's awesome autocomplete feature to generate a quiz.
Okay.
So now, if you've used Google, you probably know you start typing something in and the box will drop down with some suggestions for you. It auto-completes popular searches for whatever term you're starting to type in.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing to point out is the order that things appear in autocomplete is not necessarily correlated with what has the most search results.
So it's what's more tailored to you?
It is. It's a little bit of what's more tailored to you, what's more tailored to your region.
Yeah.
But it also really does have what's hot, what's trending, you know?
Okay.
So if something skews a lot more popular searches over a given period of time, it might come up ahead of something that has way more results.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind as we go into this quiz. And I did try, I used an anonymized browser, so it's not based on my search results, but
Star Wars.
It will probably skew a little bit American and probably skew a little bit toward the Bay Area and skew a little bit toward June 2014. But I've tried to make it as agnostic as I could otherwise.
Okay.
So specifically, I'm going to give you guys first names, common first names. And you guys are going to try and guess what famous name appears highest in the list of autocomplete.
Okay.
Now, these could be real people, historical figures, people alive today. They could be fictional characters. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we will go with a scoring system here. Now, autocomplete gives you generally 10 results. So you guys, your challenge is to see... How high in that list of 10 results can you guys guess your answers?
Wow.
And I will be awarding points based on who guesses highest in the list.
Will you be awarding prizes?
Do we win a free cat?
Yeah, you can have one of my cats.
Sweet.
Yeah, you can choose which one.
Yeah.
5 points if you guess the first result. 3 points if you guess somewhere down. And then 1 point if you guess lower than somebody else.
All right.
And you'll have to trust me that I'll keep track.
All right.
So just as an example... If I were to say Albert, you might guess Einstein.
Albert Einstein.
Yeah. Or
Albert Finney.
Albert Brooks. Albert
Prince.
Yeah.
Are we just saying one person?
You
or...
will give me one last name.
Okay.
In some cases, it may be a last name that's maybe elaborated a little bit.
All right.
So here we go. Julia. Who shows up highest on the list of autocomplete results when I type in Julia?
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, man, I have two in mind.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure we all do.
All right, answer's up. Karen.
Oh, I want to change mine.
No, you can't change it. You can't change it after you saw. Karen says Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh.
Chris and Dana both say Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. Julia Roberts is the number one. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, number two, though.
And Julia Child, number three?
Julia Child is in the top results.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking because Veep and I was in two trending zone.
You're thinking in the right way, though. It's trend does play a big part in it. All right. Yeah. Right. All right.
Who
talks
about Julia Roberts anymore?
Well,
so it's kind of a surprise.
She's in an HBO movie too, as well. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Ruffalo.
All right. So 5 points to Chris and Dana, and we will give Karen 3.
Okay.
Are you just making this up?
Yeah.
No, there's a system. There's a system. I reserve the right to make up rules. Yeah. Here we go. Next one. Roger. All right, answer's up. Karen says Roger Federer. Chris says Roger Sterling. Excellent guess. Dana says Roger Federer as well. It is, in fact, Roger Federer is the top hit. Unfortunately, Roger Sterling did not make the top
hit. Oh, no!
Roger Rabbit did.
How Roger Rabbit going to get on the top 10? And Roger Sterling doesn't even chart.
Roger Rabbit is a... Or Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a very... Wikipedia.
Right, true. Yeah, right, and the dance. Googly, if you're looking up how to do the dance.
It's in a lot of listicles lately.
Right.
Yeah.
May also be the name of a drink.
Roger Ebert, number two.
Oh, good one.
All right. Good. Steven. And I'm going to give you the spelling here because this matters. So S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Steven.
Wow.
And this is an all-star list, by the way.
I bet.
Oh, sure.
Karen furiously.
I'm so curious what she's writing.
All right, answer's up. Karen says Stephen King. Chris says Stephen Colbert. Dana says Stephen King. Stephen Colbert is number two, so Chris takes that one.
What about my original one?
You were right for changing it.
Okay.
So actually the first result that comes up is Stephen Curry, the pro basketball player. Because he spells it that way, I couldn't control for that. But then it's Stephen Colbert, Stephen Hawking, Stephen King, Stephen Merchant, and then Stephen Fry.
Wow.
Yeah, we got an all-star list there. All right, so Chris takes that one and you guys get points as well.
Wait, I thought we were in the 3 through 5 area.
It's
not
1, 3, or 5. So
I thought you were saying there was an area.
Probably best to just we haven't given out prizes yet, and we're probably not going to start.
Jennifer, this is another all-star list here.
Oh man, this is tough. All right.
Answers up. Karen says Jennifer Lopez. Chris says Jennifer Lopez. Dana says Jennifer Lopez. She is third on the list.
She's in the World Cup thing.
Aniston was up there.
Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence.
Lots of Jennifers.
I was thinking because she's performing with Pitbull at the World Cup ceremony.
There's the scandal with her boyfriend or something.
Yep. Dang. Jennifer Lawrence, then Jennifer Aniston, then Jennifer Lopez.
All right.
Here we go. Next one. Vince. Now, note, this is not Vincent. So Vincent Price is not on this list. Right. Vince.
This is a sport person.
And...
No, I got the name wrong.
Karen has used, like, 4 times more paper than any of us.
I can't even think of a name.
Karen, I know there's one Vince you can think of, at least. All right, answers up. Karen says. Karen says D'Onofrio. See, I think that would be a Vincent. Vincent. I think he goes by Vincent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Chris says Vaughn, Vince Vaughn. Dana says Lombardi, Vince Lombardi. Unfortunately, D'Onofrio not on the list, Karen. Vince Vaughn is third on the list behind Vince Carter, again, an NBA player. Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
I thought for sure you get the Vince McMahon.
I can't believe he was number one.
Who's Vince McMahon?
From WWE.
The head of WWE. Right. Yeah. Number one, huh? Wow.
Yep.
Oh, I guess he shows up. Oh, why? Who's number one?
Vince Carter. Vince Carter, then Vince McMahon, then Vince Vaughn. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Dang.
Is Lombardi on there at all?
Vince Lombardi is also on there, yes. Right. So Chris gets higher points for that round for Vince Vaughn.
The Vince of Vince.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Screw me
up. Yep. Okay. All right. Mary.
Ooh.
Mary. And I will tell you that Virgin Mary is not on the list.
Mary, yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Wow, this is an interesting quiz. I don't know. Okay.
Karen and Dana both say Mary J. Blige.
Oh.
And Chris says Mary Tyler Moore.
What? Well, yeah, not topical.
Unfortunately, none of those, neither of those women is on the top 10 autocomplete.
Cool.
Can't even think of
Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene on
Mary
the list.
Mary Magdalene, of course. Yep. Mary Steenburgen?
Well,
nope, not on there.
Mary Elizabeth Parker?
You guys are going to kick yourselves. The very first hit.
Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen?
Mary Kate Olsen is fourth. What beloved character from Disney movies?
Oh, Mary Poppins. Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Yeah. Yes. Mary Poppins, number one.
Topical today.
Mary Queen of Scots, higher than Mary Kate Olsen, for the record.
Dang.
Good.
Jimmy. Jimmy Blank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sports.
I will tell you this one. Not sports. Not sports. Yeah, not sports.
Like, he was like 70s tennis.
Are there no sports anywhere?
There have been sports on other lists, not in the Jimmies. Yeah.
No sports in the Jimmies.
No sports in the top Jimmies.
All right.
I will tell you that these are all real.
Oh, okay. I was going to put Jimmy Dean Sausage. So
real Jimmies.
That is a real person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sausage guy?
Yeah. Don't overthink these, you know? I know you guys don't name a Jimmy. All right. Answers are... Karen says Jimmy Carter. He's third. Chris says Jimmy Fallon. Number one.
Yay!
Jimmy Fallon.
When I saw Fallon, I was like, yes, that's it.
And Dana went with Jimmy Dean. Unfortunately, did not make the list.
Oh, no. Okay. No one's searching for a delicious sauce.
All right. So, Chris.
Yeah. This is when we overthink.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel. Then Jimmy Carter.
Mm.
Jimmy Choo, the designer and the fashion brand. Jimmy Page and Jimmy Buffett.
Cool.
All right, guys. Last one. Here we go. Jane.
Jane.
J-A-N-E? J-A-N-E. Thank you for asking. Yes. J-A-N-E.
I have two, but...
All right. There's neck and neck coming into this last question here. Karen says Jane Austen. Chris says Jane Austen. Dana says Jane Fonda. All on the list, but Dana was higher.
Oh!
Yes. Jane Goodall, number one. Then Jane Fonda. Jane Eyre. Jane Austen. Then Jane Krakowski.
Krakowski!
All right.
Oh, I bombed this one. Dang.
And you guys both said. All right, final scores. Karen, 16 points. Dana, 18 points. Chris, with 20 points.
Whoa.
And it's funny, because I don't know anything about current affairs or even people that are alive right now.
Jimmy Fallon was good.
Jimmy Fallon. I guess that was it. Jimmy Fallon put me over the line. Thanks, Jimmy Fallon. Thanks for the show of support, Karen.
Karen's mad.
She doesn't like to lose. It's okay.
Then this is why we don't keep score here on Good Job Brain.
That's why we never keep score.
I got fired from the show.
All right, let's take a quick ad break. A word from our sponsor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
All right. I kind of have a music quiz for you guys. It's about band names and where the band names come from, the story behind the band name. So I'll give you kind of the story of where the band name came from. Mm-hmm. And you tell me the name of the band.
Oh, I like it. All right.
I think you'll be fine. I picked nothing's too
Colin's
obscure.
Colin's gonna sweep this one.
We're not keeping score. Fine. How about we'll start with this one. This might be a Colin. Colin will get it, but it was interesting. What rock band got its name from a reference to the sidekick of the radioactive man from The Simpsons? Chris.
Fallout Boy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was a video game reference.
Nope.
The little Pip-Boy from Fallout. I thought that was, that's Fallout Boy.
No. The Simpsons.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. What American rock band got its name from a flatbed fire engine?
Oh.
Karen.
REO Speedwagon?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like cars. I really didn't know that one. I just pulled out my butt.
Somebody in the band took a class about transportation in college and was like, that's a cool name.
I made the joke of, that's my band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What hard rock band got their name after seeing a little note or a sign on an electric sewing machine?
Oh.
A note on an electric sewing machine.
Yeah, there's a sign on the electric sewing.
AC/DC?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, sure.
What new wave band got their name from a type of beehive hairdo? Chris.
Oh, I was going to say the B-52s.
It did. Yes.
All right, okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Not the plane.
Oh, they got it from the hairdo, which got it from the plane.
Okay, yes.
I censored myself.
I do remember hearing that. Yeah.
Nice.
What indie band got their name from a children's book by French writer Cécile Aubry?
That's Belle and Sebastian.
Yes. Yes. Okay, what band got its name from Woody Guthrie's boyhood gang, named after his hometown of Oklahoma City? It's such a funny name for a gang.
Named after Oklahoma. Well, it's not the Oak Ridge Boys.
No.
Okay, go.
No.
Oh,
that's a good guess. That's a good guess.
So okay.
It's the Boomtown Rats.
Oh.
Because Oklahoma City was Boomtown.
I did not know that.
What electronic band got its name from a French fashion magazine of the same name?
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
No.
Air?
No.
Hold on.
French magazine. Fashion magazine.
But it's electronic.
Oh, yeah. I know what it is.
Hold on.
I think, I feel like Colin has it.
Okay.
All right.
Is it Depeche Mode?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Which translates to what? Something fashion.
Depeche fashion. Fish.
De poisson maker.
So what American rock band got its name from the dictionary? And the definition of their name is a disappearance or dissipation like vapor. Colin.
Evanescence?
Yes.
Oh, they got the dictionary?
Yeah.
Why are you guys judging?
Okay, so what electro-pop group got its name from the main DJ's old AIM nickname? like AOL what? Instant Messenger. That was his old Instant Messenger nickname.
Is that Deadmau5?
No.
Skrillex.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. It is such an AIM name when I look at it.
Totally, it is.
Blink 182 is an AIM name.
Yeah.
Well, it should be, but it sounds not, like one. Random string of characters at the end. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So what band gets its name from both a prison and the jerky movement that prisoners made when they were hanged?
Whoa.
It's dark.
Wow.
They're 80s.
80s.
Mm-hmm.
Prisons, Attica.
You ready?
Yeah.
Spandau Ballet.
Like Spandau Prison.
Yeah.
I didn't know Spandau that's Ballet. What that was an allusion to.
Dark.
Wow. So doing the Spandau Ballet was, you were being hanged?
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought it was such a pretty band name.
Really dark.
What did they sing?
Yeah, I know this much is true. All right. And last question. These have been alphabetical. I don't know if you've noticed
that.
Hint. What band gets its name from the UK government's form number for the unemployment benefit attendance card? Everybody.
UB40.
Yes.
That's a classic trivia question.
Yeah.
Classic.
Good job.
Any of those could show up in pub quiz for sure.
Okay, well, dear listener, if you have downloaded this episode as soon as it became available and are listening to it this week, you may wish to know or not wish to know that I am probably currently in Orlando, Florida for the opening, or at least the preview or whatever it is, of Diagon Alley in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yay!
And Bragging. Escape from Gringotts Bank.
Which
and,
is the Universal... Orlando Harry Potter Park, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I will be checking that out. And in honor of all of the Harry Potter-ishness that is going on this week, I have developed you this quiz, and it is titled Harry Potter and the Wiki Hole. I went to the Harry Potter Wikia, and then I clicked the random page button, and then I got a piece of trivia off of that page, and then followed that page to another page, and got a piece of trivia, and so on and so forth, until it was 3 a.m. No. So anyway, as you do, if you are a huge Harry Potter nerd, and I imagine that the huge Harry Potter nerds, the Venn diagram of Harry Potter nerds and Good Job Brain nerds intersects by quite a bit. You should enjoy this. And if you know nothing about Harry Potter, this is the time to go to the bathroom.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay. So it's Karen versus Dana in the Harry Potter off. Here we go.
You can be our house elf, Colin.
Thanks.
No, she's making you a slave.
Hey, wait a minute. You tricked me. I'm gonna go ahead and make my best guess here.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna have a wild card here.
All right, well, we're starting off with a totally eminently gettable question.
Right.
If you buzz, we'll let you answer.
What are the two other schools of wizardry that competed in the Tri-Wizard Tournament in Harry Potter Goblet of Fire?
Do you remember?
Dang it.
Yeah. Colin.
Hogwarts State.
All right. Beauxbatons,
yes. Which and what's the other one?
Durmstrang.
Durmstrang or Durmstrang, yes. Oh, very good. The champion, speaking of Beauxbatons, the champion of Beauxbatons was Fleur Delacour. Mm-hmm. What was the name of her little sister?
Oh,
was it like Elise or something? Elsie? No.
No. Starts with a G.
Oh.
Harry had to rescue her out of the lake.
Giselle?
Oh, close.
No.
Gabrielle Delacour.
Wow.
All right. The Delacour sisters are both.
This is a wiki hole.
It is. All right. The Delacour sisters are both 3/4 human and 1/4 this humanoid magical race.
Elf.
No. It was like a.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Not a harpy. Not a harpy.
Starts
like
with
a
V, and they're sort of like sirens.
Yeah. Vestrov.
Oh,
Vestal.
No.
It.
Yeah. It's a.
Vila.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like Vespa.
Vilas appeared at the Quidditch World Cup, the beginning of Goblet of Fire. Now, for which national Quidditch team did Triwizard champion Victor Krum play? What was his national Quidditch team that he played on?
Horn.
Is he? No. It's a country.
Yeah.
Oh.
Country.
Russia. No.
Croatia.
You're dancing around it.
Hungarian.
Crumb was, in fact,
Hungary.
Bulgarian.
Bulgarian
national Quidditch team. All right. What was the model of sporting broom given to Harry Potter by Sirius Black in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban?
It's the Firebolt.
Firebolt.
Yeah, 3000. Firebolt. Okay. The Firebolt. Yes, okay. You got it.
Because he got the
Nimbus 2000,
which is before.
Exactly. Okay. The Firebolt. Twins Fred and George Weasley were born on what day in 1978? Karen!
April the 1st,
1978.
Also, you were going to
I figured
that.
I had a 1 in 365 chance.
Yeah.
I was going to guess January 1st.
Yeah. We're fuzzy on all of this stuff.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. It's been a while.
The Weasley brothers opened up their shop, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. And where was that shop located, generally?
We'll do this. We'll let Colin answer.
Uh-huh.
Do your best and...
Yeah.
In Diagon Alley?
Yes! Yeah. In Diagon Alley! Yeah. Now, there is a street that runs away from Diagon Alley, and it features stores that dabble in the black arts. What is the name of the street?
Oh.
Colin.
Rogues Avenue.
Ooh. Oh,
that would be good.
Karen.
Nocturne Alley?
Nocturne Alley.
Oh, yes. I see the pattern here.
Yes. Draco Malfoy bought a certain item in Nocturne Alley that he tried to use to kill Professor Dumbledore. What type of item was it? Colin.
A sun hat.
Cursed sun hat.
Ooh.
Karen.
A necklace.
Yes.
Cursed
opal necklace. One of Dumbledore's closest friends, who started as a student of Hogwarts on the same day he did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're both students. Shares his last name with this popular internet animal.
Popular internet animal. Corgi?
Not so much. Dumbledore's best friend at Hogwarts was, of course, named Alpheus Doge.
Oh. Wow.
And it's probably best we stop there.
Wow. I was like, whose last name was Chinchilla? Yeah, I don't remember.
Andrew Lolcat.
Red Panda.
Yes.
Doge. Wow.
Nice.
Eagle Eye. Bravo.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
And we have one last quiz segment for this episode. Colin, what'd you prepare for us?
Well, I'm not sure if he's finished learning how to love yet, mm-hmm. but Elvis is back for the primary reason that he's here, which is to badly speak sing songs for you guys.
Yes. Oh.
The Electronic Lyrical Vocalization Interface System, our 1980s era computer voice, who will speak songs in a monotone with no soul whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So the rub for today's show is the lyrics from all the songs today are songs that were hits twice. Once by either an original artist or mm-hmm. as made famous by, and then covered again, going on to become a hit as the cover version.
Wow. Cool.
So you will probably know...
Hitception.
Yeah, there you go. Hitception. So you'll probably know most, if not all of these, but your challenge is to name the song, and you need to tell me... Who are the two singers or groups that had hits with this particular song?
Got it. All right, well,
all right. Cool. These will be the opening lines for all of these. This is the opening lines of all of these songs.
All right,
here we go. Well, hopefully this one we can warm up here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, East Coast girls are hip. I really dig those styles they wear. The Southern girls, with the way they walk, they knock me out when I'm down there.
Chris, I believe.
Well, this was California Girls, and the first group is the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Katy Perry has a song called California Girls, but I don't think it's the same one.
She does. It's
Karen,
not the same song.
You have a face on like you know this.
David Lee Roth.
Correct.
Oh, yes. Wow.
California Girls, the Beach Boys, huh. David Lee Roth.
Huh. Yep.
Cool.
All right, here we go. Next one.
Oh, I bet you're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. Between the two of us, guys, you know I love you more.
Chris again.
Okay, the song is Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yes.
It was first a hit for Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
And then it was a hit for the California Raisins. What?
It was in
Show
fact...
Show me where I'm wrong.
You can probably guess I was not looking for California Raisins.
Oh, did they actually have a real band sing Temptations?
Is it Rod Stewart?
It is... Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Really?
Oh. Yes. A big hit for them. Huh. An 11-minute version.
So this has nothing to do with the Raisins?
No. This is a Motown hit.
Oh. It was a metaphor. Yeah. The Raisins literally used the grapevine to process information back and forth between each other.
Yeah, yeah. Recorded by a few different Motown artists, actually. Gladys Knight and the Pips had a version. Huh. But hands down, Marvin Gaye's is the biggest hit version.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Getting a little tricky here for the last couple.
Yeah.
All
right.
Here we go. Next one.
Every time I think of you, I feel a shot right through with a bolt of blue. It's no problem of mine, but it's a problem I find. Living a life that I can leave behind.
Karen.
Bizarre Love Triangle.
Correct.
Yeah. First musical act was New Order.
Yes.
The cover that made it famous was Frante.
100% correct, Karen.
Yes.
That's right.
Frante! Exclamation point.
Yes. I think they're without a doubt their biggest hit, at least here in the U.S. Yes. All right. Last one.
Take us home, Elvis.
Elvis will be taking us home.
At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side.
Dana.
I Will Survive.
Yes.
Gloria Gaynor.
Uh-huh.
And...
You have a lot of options here.
Yeah.
Cake, I think, was probably certainly the most recent cover hit of it. Also sung by Diana Ross. Selena had a version of it. Several times covered. But I was looking for Gloria Gaynor, the original, and Cake. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which apparently I've read that Gloria Gaynor did not approve of the Cake cover version.
I love the Cake.
Because there's profanity in it, and she didn't like that.
Oh.
I like the Cake version. It's really good. I like songs that do gender role reversal.
Bizarre Love Triangle had a gender swap, too.
Mm. All right. Well, good job, guys.
Thank you, Elvis. Now you can go back, try to learn how to love. And that is our show. It's our all quiz bonanza number 23. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learn a lot of stuff about frogs and milk, I guess.
Yeah.
A key takeaway for this episode. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And thanks to our sponsor, lynda.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.